Well, welcome to the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. It is the 1st of September and the first Thursday of September anyway. And we're going to get you out in this, what some people and a lot of people consider the very best time of the year. And how about a great bike ride? Well, we have a great bike ride with a great doctor to support some great work. Altogether, not a bad combination. We're going to talk today with Dr. Thomas Olulla. Dr. Olulla, nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on your show.
Well, it's good to talk to you. And Dr. Olulla focuses on lymphoma. And we'll talk more about his clinic in just a minute. He's a medical director of the cutaneous T-cell lymphoma clinic. And we have to talk about your transportation and how you got to work. How did you get to work today?
So almost every day I come in, deep snow stops me, I would say. On my bicycle, I live in Barrington, so I take the East Bike Bay path right into Providence every day.
Amazing. How far a ride is it?
If I'm going to the Miriam, it's about 10 miles. If I'm going to Rhode Island Hospital, it's about 8.
Which certainly is not a huge distance in terms of, say, going by car or other kind of conveyance. But a bicycle, I think that's a challenge for a lot of people. So we are admirers of you already. So this is great. How long have you been doing this?
You know, I started bike commuting in med school in Philadelphia. There's no real parking at Hahnemann Hospital. And so I was going down the Schuylkill River on bike. I kind of fell in love with it. And then as a intern here at Rhode Island Hospital, I drove for a bit, but parking wasn't so great. And I quickly realized the quickest way to get in and out was actually by bicycle. So since then, I've never really stopped.
That's the way to handle the problem. Nice going. Great solution. Great problem solving on your part, Dr. Olulla. So let me ask you, what's a better biking city, Philly or Providence?
I would say when I moved to Providence, Philly had more bike lanes and was better. And I lived in the Edgewood neighborhood, which I loved, but the bike to get in there wasn't so great.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with the last mayor's administration and continuing on, the Great Streets Program, I think it's called, mm-hmm. has really put in a lot of nice bike lanes and bike routes. So I haven't been biking in Philadelphia in 10 years, but Providence at least now is better than Philadelphia was then.
We're catching up for sure. And we have a whole another system going on in Newport as well. And so that was the answer that I figured we were going to hear from you. And it's great to see the state of the art here, the state of the science. Well, let's put this aside for a second, and we'll talk a little bit about what you do when you're not biking. And then we'll come back to biking, which is a very important part of your life and your practice here. So you're a hematologist, oncologist, you're the medical director of the cutaneous T-cell lymphoma clinic. Tell us what that entails.
Oh, so that clinic is a clinic I run with a dermatologist, Dr. John Kawaoka, once a month. And we see cutaneous lymphomas there. And so you get to see a medical hematologist like myself who can direct systemic therapies. And a dermatologist who can, you know, repeat skin biopsies right in there and kind of guide the treatment for earlier stage disease in one visit. We do that at Rhode Island Hospital. So I've really enjoyed the collaboration there. Outside of that, most of my clinical practice is seeing systemic lymphomas and central nervous system lymphomas. I see most of that here at Rhode Island Hospital as well. So I'm really a lymphoma specialist in general.
So interesting. Let's go back to the skin part of this. Has that picked up for better or for worse? And I'm afraid it's for worse over the past few years. Are we seeing more of that?
It's been fairly steady. And so skin lymphomas aren't so much sun related. To be honest, we don't really know what causes them. So, you know, the sunburns that we all got as kids and we're worried about now, you know, for basal cells and squamous cell cancers are less related. It's more immune related. We see it with people who have autoimmune diseases, but just generally, it's unclear what causes it.
Gotcha.
But most people do really well. So oftentimes it's, you know, we found it, it's found on a biopsy. It's very scary to get that diagnosis. And then, you know, we use, say, light therapy, or we even just do, you know, creams, steroid creams, and that can control disease for a lot of people, and they have a normal life expectancy.
That's the thing about lymphoma, as you say, as disturbing and unsettling as that diagnosis might be, it is something that has seen a lot of progress and a lot of triumph recently, and can be taken care of very, very well, thanks to people like yourself. You've been doing a lot of clinical trials, and we want to talk about something that supports these cutting-edge cancer trials. Tell us about your work in the trials, first of all.
So I'm a local lead investigator on a number of large national trials. So I'm kind of, you could say I'm the point person here at the hospital for making sure that it's the right trial for our patients, that we offer it to patients, because I feel that clinical trials are really how we advance the field and what have led to such better care for our patients. And then I'm also involved with the BRUOG, which is the Brown Oncology Research Group. And what that does is it's a Brown affiliated, you know, division, and it's how the investigator initiated trials come into being. And so that's if myself or one of my colleagues has an idea for a trial, it's how it gets organized and how it actually goes from an idea to being run and something that we can offer to patients. And that's what the bike ride really supports, is these BRUOG trials.
Right. We want to talk a lot about the Tour de Rhodey, a bicycle ride to support these trials that we'll get into in just a few minutes here with Dr. Thomas Olulla on this month's Hour of Health. When you say investigative initiated trials, is that different from some others? We've heard a bit about, not in your field necessarily, but we've heard about some trials that have started here in Providence. Is there a particular criteria or set of criteria that needs to be met for this to be, as you call it, an investigative initiated trial?
Yeah, so an investigator initiated trial, they can form in a few ways. It's really when typically a hematologist or a oncologist, someone like myself or one of my colleagues, says, well, what if we do this to treat a patient, combine these drugs, or there's a new compound that someone, say, developed in a lab in Brown that seems to have strong anti-cancer properties and has evidence that it works, say, in mice. Well, then you have to design the whole trial. How many people do we enroll? What dose? What are the endpoints we're looking at? Is it how long people live? Is it how much a tumor or a lymphoma mass shrinks? You know, or all of these, and what additional, you know, sciences can we find? You know, can we look at a marker in the blood that predicts if someone's going to respond to this treatment? You know, all of these things, and how to put that together in a package that works is how you design that trial. There's also cooperative group trials. So that's consortiums of different, you know, medical centers, which we're also part of, that meet in annual meetings, and together they say, well, let's start this trial between all of these institutions, and hopefully a lot of these institutions will be able to open that trial. And then finally, there's pharmaceutical company-run trials. So a big drug company has a new product, or they want to try something that they know works in one thing and something else. Well, then they have a whole staff and team that designs the trial, and then they'll reach out to institutions and say, you know, we have this trial. Is this something you'd be interested in opening? And how these are funded is different between all of them. Obviously, the pharmaceutical companies have the easiest time funding the trials because they're making the drug. They're interested in being able to, you know, have it approved, make money on it later. It's reasonable. That's very reasonable. I'm glad they do it. That's how a lot of progress is made. But the investigator-initiated trials, you know, they're the ones that we're the ones actually here treating people in Rhode Island. So we see what the need is. And we also have great, great scientists working within Lifespan Cancer Institute, working within Brown, who have new treatment methods that are very, very innovative. And so we can say, well, we have this very promising therapy. We know what the needs of our patients are. Let's design a trial that's really great for Rhode Islanders. And so we know the needs of our patients, but it also, these are often smaller, earlier stage studies, but they can set the groundwork for really practice changing larger trials down the road.
We'll find out more just ahead with Dr. Thomas Olilla, hematologist-oncologist at the Lifespan Cancer Institute and the medical director of the Cutaneous T-Cell Lymphoma Clinic. And we're here to talk about how to support some of these cancer trials, and it's no less than a bike ride. And we'll tell you all about it on today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health. It's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. We're speaking today with Dr. Thomas Olilla, hematologist, oncologist, medical director of the Cutaneous T-Cell Lymphoma Clinic at the Lifespan Cancer Institute. And we've been talking about some cutting edge cancer trials. We think of these trials in a particular way where we're familiar with them to the degree that we are exposed to them in the media, things like that. Some of the big trials get a lot of attention and things. I get the impression, Dr. Olilla, that some of these trials are a little bit in need of some bootstrapping, which is where this Tour de Rhodey came in. Is that how it came about?
Correct. So, you know, the BRUOG, the Brown University Oncology Research Group, has been running trials for decades, and it's put on some great trials that we're all very, very proud of. Trials are very, very expensive to run, and you know, I came in here and kind of said, how can we run more trials? What would be a way for me to help us with the clinical research? And one way is me as a clinician trying to work on trials and enroll people. You know, we've got some amazing lymphoma trials going on right now. But one would be to let's support BRUOG and let's make it easier for people to open these studies. Let's make it less dependent on outside funding to be able to get things going. And, you know, about 5 years ago, I talked to some colleagues. They gave me some nudges. I looked around. There was not a cycling event at that point supporting really cancer care or cancer research in Rhode Island. And I said, well, why don't I try and start one?
Let's start one. And it was not a reach for you because you're an avid cyclist, as we talked about a few minutes ago. You're a bike commuter, and you're the kind of you're one of these people that we hear about, and we didn't really know how many there were, but boy, it's great to talk to you here. You don't mind if I talk to you like you're a zoo exhibit or anything, but it's we hear so much theory about, you know, what can be and things like this, and here you are, you've been riding your bike to work for 5 years, and this is great. And so you do what you do. It's like, hey, I know a little about cycling. We can raise some money doing this. And there are a lot of people like me. Tell us how the Tour de Rhodey came about.
Yeah, so it was a few things. When I first moved up to Rhode Island, I think in 2012, there was a bike ride going on called Ride Round Rhodey, which supported cancer care in general and would offer grants and that kind of thing. It was a great ride. And I had a ton of fun, and they stopped doing it. So there was no actual ride going on. And as I was riding into work, you know, I kind of thought, well, that would be fun. But I had no idea how to put on a bike ride. There's no PowerPoint slideshow anywhere in med school for how to do this. And during this time, one of my colleagues, Dr. Don Dizon, sent me an email about Pelotonia in Ohio and said, hey, why can't we do this? We should start it. And I went, you know, Don, not a bad idea. I had thought about it, but it was more of a pipe dream. And his suggestion and nudge really kind of pushed me to talk to the leadership, and I got a lot of support. And we said, you know, would we do it for the Lifespan Cancer Institute? Would we do it directly through BRUOG? And there's been, you know, a lot of back kind of behind the scenes of how to make the funding work. Ultimately, it all supports the Lifespan Cancer Institute. They're the main sponsor and who's providing me support, but it's dedicated to getting these BRUOG studies off the ground and running. And so, for an example, one of my other colleagues, Wafik Aldieri, has a novel compound that you know, they developed called a heat shock protein inhibitor, which has a lot of promise in a lot of different cancers. And then we're figuring out how do we take the funding? How do we make this into a trial that we're actually getting patients enrolled on? And they said, could this be something Toward Erode supports? I said, of course, this is why we have this ride. So it's helping get that going. You know, I treat lymphoma, and we have a clinical trial through BRUOG going that allows us to use a new kind of immune therapy called a bispecific antibody. It's approved for lymphomas that have failed chemotherapy down the road. And we said, well, if it works so well then, you know, what if we used it instead of chemotherapy right from the start? And so I've been treating a lot of patients without any chemotherapy at all for lymphomas, and they've been doing phenomenally. And I want to be able to make more trials like this, enroll more patients, and keep them going.
Boy, how great is that? Now, that's got to cut way down on side effects, and you've got to be able to see the results and the progress much quicker without chemotherapy, right?
Yeah. I mean, when it works, I wish I could say that these things always worked. I wish I could say that chemo always worked. My job would be easy.
Well, of course.
But they've been working really well, and you know, it's such an honor to be able to do what I do. To be able to offer people these new effective therapies that you know are either just better tolerated, or there's patients who would have been too sick for chemo, and essentially you're talking end of life care with a otherwise curable diagnosis.
Yeah.
Who I'm able to get them into remission, and I probably couldn't have done that with chemo.
Thanks to the support from Tour de Rhodey, which right from the start, this bicycle ride to raise funds for this research, for these clinical trials, right from the start, you did pretty well. I mean, we talk about, oftentimes we'll hear about these things and we say, well, it started out with the one person or two people or something like that. You actually started out with 100 riders that first year. When was that first year?
That was 2018, I guess. 2019. And it was 5 years ago, because this is the fifth one. And yeah, I certainly was a learning curve. And so I put it out there. I put it on sites, you know, for riding registration and stuff. And I started working with Salisbury Farm right from the start. They partnered with me from the beginning. And I had no clue how many people would show up. If I had at least 25, I was going to call it a success. If I had 200, I was going to be terrified of how I would run an event with that many people, not knowing what I was doing. And so the 100 people that showed up was perfect. We didn't really have a real website at that point where people could raise funds and have rider pages. And despite that, we still raised $18,000 with the whole event, I think, costing about $4,000 to put on between police details, insurance, t-shirts. So I'd say a pretty good return and on the amount to put it in. I did make some mistakes. I tried to use chalk spray paint to mark all the routes so that it would be not permanent markings on the road. It rained that night. So people got fairly lost, but they still had fun. And the next year I actually put up arrows, which is a lot more work, and thankfully I've got a number of volunteers, but it's, you know, it still takes a lot to put those up and take them all down. And I had a couple hundred people the next year. So year two, we went from $18,000 to $50,000 raised.
Yeah.
Similar overhead to year three, about $100,000. Last year, $120,000 raised, and this year we're already pushing $100,000, and that doesn't count all the employee matching. It doesn't count any sponsors that have still, you know, said they're donating, and we haven't counted it towards the total yet. And then a lot of people send those last-minute emails saying, I'm doing this ride, sponsor me that last week. So historically, the last week's been a big portion of what we've raised. So we're on target to have another successful year.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Thomas Olillo, you have a success going on here. You are a success story, sir. Nice going. Even in the COVID year, you grew this event, which kind of makes sense because it's outdoors. We were all told that we either had to go under our beds or we could go outside. And so this was an outside event. So why not? And it just kept going and going. I would imagine that as things go on here, and knowing what I know about the issue of suffering with lymphoma, and it is something that affects families. No one goes through it alone, as it is with so many other cancers. But I would imagine that people want to come out and turn out and support this event for someone else.
Yeah, and so I have a lot of participants who share their stories with me, and that's one thing I hadn't expected when I start this is. As I get emails and people let me know why they're riding, and it's so impactful and meaningful to hear. I also have patients who are doing well now who have come and ridden it with me, which has been just so much fun.
Oh, how great is
that? I have family members of patients who are on treatment now riding. I have family members of patients who were treated in the past and are doing okay. And I have family members of patients who unfortunately did not do well, and they're doing it to remember that person. And it's an honor to me that they're participating in this ride we've created to try and push care and advance it so that, you know, similar family members down the road maybe can be riding with them instead of in their memory. And so I'm truly, truly honored by everyone who rides this ride.
We'll tell you more about this year's Tour du Rhodi in just a moment. On today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health, we're speaking with Dr. Thomas Olilla, hematologist-oncologist, director of the Cutaneous T-Cell Lymphoma Clinic, Lifespan Cancer Institute, on today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health. Welcome back. It's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. We do it the first Thursday of the month. We're talking today with Dr. Thomas Olilla, and we're talking about the Tour du Rhodi, a bike ride to support cutting-edge cancer trials designed by the Brown University Oncology Research Group, BRUOG. Did I say that right?
Correct.
Oh, good. I want to learn the lingo, Doc. See, this is the whole thing. This is a wonderful event that we're just learning about. It takes place in September, and we're being a little circumspect in sharing a lot of information because it's kind of full, but more on that in a minute. And in fact, there was one year, Dr. Olilla, that you actually made room for a group of interns who had come up in this program. Tell us about the Future Gen team who's riding.
So this is this year. This is a new program that we ran through the Lifespan Cancer Institute. I was one of the directors of it, called the Future Gen Cancer Scholar. And this is a large program that was supported by the Pepito Opportunity Foundation for 20 rising junior high school students from Providence, Pawtucket, and Central Falls that's really aimed at reducing disparities in cancer care. And so it was underrepresented minority students who applied for the program, and they spent the entire summer working with physicians, doing didactic lessons. For example, I taught them all how to do bone marrow biopsies on fruit. Huh. So we did bone marrow biopsies on oranges. And then they worked in the lab and had a great time and a great experience. And they, you know, all heard about Tour du Rhodi because, you know, I put up posters around the cancer center and stuff like that. And they all kind of got a chuckle about me riding my bike in every day. And a lot of them told Annabel Neville, who is the program coordinator, that they want to ride it. So Annabel said, well, can we make a team for them? And I said, of course we can. So she's helping a number of these scholars come out to the farm and they're going to ride together. It helps that Annabelle's father is someone who's been a big supporter of the ride, helped me put it on for years as well. And so I'm very, very excited to have these brilliant young students out there supporting my ride and riding with me, because I can tell you just working with them this past summer was so much fun.
That's so great. I think I could do a biopsy on fruit. I think I could handle that.
Yeah. I mean, we numbed it up. We used lidocaine. I mean, it was
excellent.
You know,
we want
done.
To be definitely considerate of our fruit patients for sure.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't eat that orange after.
No.
But
Dr. Tom Olilla, and Dr. Olilla is the medical director of the Cutaneous T-Cell Lymphoma Clinic at the Lifespan Cancer Institute. Hematologist oncologist focuses on lymphoma, and the Tour de Rhodey that we talk about is a bicycle ride to support these cutting edge cancer trials. And really some of these stories are inspirational. The ride itself is around the middle of Rhode Island. It starts out from a place that we'd like to find out a little bit more about, Salisbury Farm in Johnston. Tell us a little bit about the venue.
So Salisbury Farm, it's a large farm with all kinds of vegetables, pick your own strawberries. They've got a big corn maze. It just so happens that Paula Salisbury, who is of that family, works with me at the cancer center. And so when we were in our first year thinking of, well, where could we host this? Do we try and host it from the cancer center? So there's a lot of traffic, you know, in Providence. And she said, well, why don't we have it at the farm? And they've been gracious hosts. There's a, you know, a large pavilion where there's picnic tables that people are set up. In years past, we had pizza. This year, Keen's Wood-Fired Catering is graciously donating food for the entire event.
Nice.
So that's going to be delicious and huge. So I hope riders work up a good appetite. And this year, you know, we've been trying to figure out where to have enough parking. The first year, it was pretty easy with 100 riders. Now that we're 400, maybe more, it's that takes a lot more space. And that's actually what's been limiting our ridership is the number of riders that we can find parking for.
Not a bad problem to have, Dr. Olilla.
Nope.
How far is the ride?
There's a number of different routes. And so the most accessible is a 15-mile loop. There's two of them. One is all on the roads around there, around Johnston and North Scituate, Rhode Island.
Nice.
There's a 45-mile road that goes out through Foster. And then there's three different gravel loops. And those are the really, really fun ones. So they're a mixture of on-paved road. But for the last 3 years, I've been working with the Providence Water Supply Board. And I have one-day access to all the closed-off roads around the Scituate reservoirs.
Wow.
And so these are roads that are in various states of disrepair. So you need a little bit bigger tires on your bike. A mountain bike's actually okay. A road bike's not.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not normally allowed in there. And it's beautiful in there. It's really exciting. It's really fun. And I really think those gravel rides are what set this ride apart as something that's just so much fun and really just neat.
Yeah, well, like you say, those mountain bikes will work really well. A fat bike would work well here too, wouldn't it?
You could do a fat bike, certainly.
I am a fat bike fan.
Yeah, so a fat bike for the 15-mile gravel loop would be perfect.
Nice.
Fat bike for the 35 or the 70-mile one might get a little tiring, but people do it.
you've got to be prepared. It's not it's the tires. The fat tires weigh a little bit.
Yeah.
You've got a little infrastructure going on there and all that. But what a lovely ride and what a series of lovely rides around a part of Rhode Island that a lot of people just don't know about, and a lovely time of the year. It's going to be September the 10th is this year's ride. And we'd all like to come, but you are a success, and success has its price. And so we're looking at what situation for this year's ride, Dr. Olilla?
Well, if people really want to ride, I suggest they register for the wait list. Like I said, I'm going to be checking out the parking situation a little bit more in depth later this week and really try and figure out how many people I think I can let off the wait list. You know, people coming off the wait list might not get a t-shirt, depending if we run out, but they can still ride. If not that, you know, we're going to have another one next September. And so I would say be on the lookout for that. And I hope to be able to grow how many riders can do it every year. And then part of continuing this is how big of a success it is for fundraising for the Cancer Center and their ability to run these trials.
Well, we want to come back to that for sure. Tell us where we can find out more, Dr. Thomas Olulla.
So I made a website, and I don't really know how to make websites. So please, please be forgiving if you see errors on it. But tortorodi.com has a lot of information, and it links to both the registration page and it links to how you can donate either through the third-party fundraising page or donate directly to Tortorodi through the Lifespan Cancer Institute, and that way saves on any fees.
It's tordrodi.com. Rodi is in little Rodi. Excellent. Dr. Thomas Olulla, who has started this whole thing, and it is really quite a phenomenon. We'll find out more and bring it back to who is benefiting by this event that is coming up in this month of September in just a minute here on today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health. It's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health, and we've had a great chat today with Dr. Thomas Olulla about the Tour de Rodi and about some inspiring work in the field of lymphoma. Dr. Olulla, let's bring it back to where we started. Tell us about some of the projects, some of the studies that have been brought about by the funding from the Tour de Rodi.
So most of these studies are run through the Brown Oncology Research Group, BRUOG. And there's been a number of them, and none of them have been entirely funded by Tour de Rodi because, clinical trials are tremendously expensive to run, to make sure you collect the data properly, to make sure you have all the supplies you need. Oftentimes, the actual treatment agents are supplied by companies. One trial that I'm enrolling people on that I had mentioned before uses a medicine called mosunetuzumab, which is something called the bispecific antibody, and that uses people's own immune system to fight lymphoma and can put lymphoma into nice, strong remissions.
Wow.
For many years without chemotherapy. Another recent trial is the BRUOG 387, which is the heat shock protein inhibitor, which is something that really came through these institutions and are now being used to treat things like colon cancer, and it's in a breast cancer trial that's being opened. And there's been lung cancer trials. Another colleague of mine is opening a trial that's combining interventional radiology-directed therapies right to gastrointestinal cancer sites, along with chemotherapy and immune therapy. So these are really tough to treat cancers. And this is a way of using different, very modern modalities combined together that hopefully are going to lead to much better outcomes for our patients. And so for all of these, when they're being negotiated, when you're in the final steps trying to get them open and running, you hit budget snags, you hit issues like that. And that's when, rather than have all this hard work that people have put in perhaps fall to the wayside, we say, well, nope, we've got this bike ride that's led to these hundreds of thousands of dollars raised. Let's use that money to bring these trials forward and make it work for our patients.
And one thing that we want to stress, Dr. Thomas Olulla, is that these funds are staying local. And when you mention these success stories and these breakthroughs, these are all things that have taken place here in Rhode Island, in Providence, and through the Lifespan Cancer Institute. That's really wonderful.
Correct. Yeah. So, right now I'm sitting at Rhode Island Hospital. I'm going to be seeing patients later this morning that we have on these clinical trials. Yesterday I was at the Miriam, also saw patients treating on these clinical trials. We have offices in East Greenwich and Lincoln where we see a lot of patients as well. And then the Brown Group, these trials can be opened at other places. So some of these, say, breast cancer trials can be run at women and infants as well.
And Newport Hospital, too.
Absolutely. I almost forgot.
Well, we don't like to leave our island, doctor. And, luckily, if by bike, we're kind of trapped here on the island.
Correct. I mean, I do. I have biked over the Mount Hope Bridge a few times, but it's absolutely terrifying.
I'm sure.
But I have wonderful colleagues in the Lifespan Cancer Institute down at Newport, and I certainly have plenty of patients. Sometimes we don't have these trials actually open down there. Sometimes we do, but no matter what, if one of my colleagues has a patient down there that they say this would be a good clinical trial for, we will then work together and do as much as we can there and then do specific clinical trial parts here, but it's seamless.
Well, that's what we stress. We've been doing this for quite some time, this monthly Hour of Health, and I think there's one thread that goes through no matter what the specialty or the discipline that we're speaking about month to month. It always comes back to if you are working with a provider, with a healthcare professional based at Newport Hospital, and there is a specific need, or you hear about something that it would be appealing and you wonder if this might be right for you to talk like a medical ad. Definitely bring it up to your provider and to your doctor that you are working with. Be an advocate, be your own advocate, and take a proactive approach to your own outcome, and ask your doctor about the Newport Hospital, at Newport Hospital, about other aspects of the Lifespan Cancer Institute and how some of these trials that have been funded by Tour de Rhodey might be something to look into. And at the very least, you might get a dialogue going, and things could take a turn for you. So we urge you to talk to, again, I sound like one of these ads, right? Except I'm not talking fast though, doctor. So that's the thing. Talk to your doctor at Newport Hospital for sure. So it is really, really something that is inspirational. What do you hope to see going forward from Tour de Rhodey? What are some of the things that you think about during these bike rides when you're commuting to work on your bike?
Yeah, so I look at some of these other big bike rides that have been happening for decades. The Panmass Challenge,
sure.
Catatonia, some other ones. And a lot of these are raising a couple to several million dollars a year. And I'm so, so proud of the trials that we can offer our patients now. And I'm doing what we can along with people to support that. But if this event were to grow and we say had sponsorship to support it, to get it, and we have great sponsors now to that size, and there's no reason we can't, well, then what we'd be able to offer people through here would just grow exponentially. And I already think that our clinical trial development and what we can offer at Rhode Island Hospital rivals academic centers anywhere, but there's no reason we can't even be bigger and better and be able to do more for our patients.
I'm with you, Dr.
We can always offer more.
You bet. I'm right with you, Dr. Thomas Olilla. Great work. Keep up the great work. All the best for this year's Tour de Rhodey coming up on September 10th. And let's give that call to action one more time for informational purposes. It would be great for you to get in on this year's ride, but it may be something that you may have to wait and do in 2024. But how can we find out more about the Tour de Rhodey?
So my amateurly built website is tourderhodey.com. So all one word. And it's R-H-O-D-Y. And
excellent.
That's the best place to get information.
And, of course, the Lifespan Cancer Institute has 7 locations throughout Rhode Island, as the doctor mentioned, Providence, Newport, East Greenwich, and Lincoln. And we mentioned Newport because it's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. And, Dr. Thomas Olilla, we wish you all the best. Thanks very much for being with us on this month's Newport Hospital Hour of Health.
All the best to you, and thank you for having me.